Listening Dog Media.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
He's one of England's most capped international players.
Seaman is the man here.
He's one of the world's most decorated goalkeepers.
And it was somehow kept out by Seaman. That is a fantastic save.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
And Seaman, what a magnificent save.
Hear him.
Breathtaking.
Like never before.
Hello and welcome back to Seaman Says with me, David Seaman, and Lindsay Hooper. Have you been, Lindsay? Because I've not been too well.
Oh dear. Yeah, your season's taken quite a turn. I don't know. I was thinking that we'd come on today and you'd clearly be down in the dumps about Arsenal. But then I look at the point for Leeds and that could be huge, that point against Brighton. So maybe both your teams shouldn't be making you feel too bad today, or are they?
Well, yeah, but the Arsenal thing was like, it's so disappointing, you know, because we go to Spurs and we just dropped, played off the pitch, really, you know, if we're honest. You know, we just didn't seem to create much, you know, massive game for us and didn't really turn up. And then then the next game at Newcastle was very similar, you know, like really big atmospheres, big pressures. And we did turn up again, you know. And I was thinking to myself, you know, hang on a minute, is it because of these big pressure games with the atmosphere and that? But then they went to West Ham and they beat Chelsea and all that sort of stuff. So I'm thinking, well, they are used to it, but I just don't know why they haven't turned up again. It's two games on the trot now.
You know why? Because I think when you went through that spell, and one of the reasons why I said I thought Spurs would win the North London Derby and that they'd get top four, is I can see with Conte what the end game is and how the team have gained certain consistency in certain areas. Whereas I look at Arsenal and you can't say what's improved. I genuinely feel that there was that streak where you had a good run and I think it was a bit fluky. That's genuinely how I watched it at the time. I just thought there were certain players that played pretty well, but it wasn't something that was in sync. And I just thought it could just disappear again. You know, Rob Holding's a great example of that. He comes in, is fantastic when he deputised in one game, comes in for another, and is really the reason that you, well, not the reason that you lost the North London Derby, but he certainly was a big contributor in the fact that you couldn't get back in it.
Yeah.
So that sums it up. You know, where's the consistency with the players that are coming in? What did you make of Xhaka's interview post-match? He was pretty brutal, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was brutal. And if I'm honest, I was a little bit uneasy because I feel that stuff like that should stay in the dressing room. He doesn't need to come out like that and say it in public. For me, that's not a positive. It's not going to help. it's just going to start people calling out other people now, and it's just not, yeah, it just doesn't help, I don't think. You know, I think he should have stayed in the dressing room. You know, he's right, you know, in some of the points that he said, you know, about, you know, it's a big game, you've got to have balls to, you know, to go and play in games like that, but it needs to stay in the dressing room. And like I say, he was part right. And then when I heard Gary Neville, like, he really went properly, didn't he? You know, like, mm-hmm. when he was like, you know, he's suddenly to talk, he's been a disgrace over the last 4 years or whatever and all that sort of stuff. I was like, that's the sort of thing that it can lead to. So for me, as much as, you know, it was a bad night for Arsenal, there's no doubt about it. You don't need one of your ex-captains coming out on TV and saying stuff like that, I don't feel. You know, just leave it in the dressing room. It's much better.
One of the questions that Patrick Davison put to him alluded to the fact that there's a lot of young players in the Arsenal team, and whether that's been part of the issue at this point in the season, that experience to get over the line. Do you see anything in that?
Yeah, but that's what I've been saying about all season, Lindsay, is the consistency. And to be fair to Arteta, that's what he's been trying to get, you know, trying to get some sort of level of consistency. And that's what you get with a lot of young players. You get great performances and then you get indifferent ones. You know, when you look at the league and we finished fifth, I'm happy with that. You know, like when we started this season, the first 2 weeks couldn't have been any worse. Bottom of the league, Tottenham top. And then from then on, you know, people was, they didn't know what the process was or anything like that, you know, and I was getting like, what process? And I was saying, well, you know, just stick with it, you know, because I felt that he's the right man. I say I felt, I still feel he's the right man. But, you know, I was getting a lot of questions asked. And then we went on this run, and then people were saying to me, you know, like, oh, what'll be a good season, Dev? I'll just say, finish in Europe. If we finish in Europe, it's going to be a good season. You know, because it's a plus on last season. You know, the last two seasons, we finished eighth. So we've made a massive improvement on that. You know, okay, we've spent a bit of money, but we've also got a team now that we know that can perform. But like we've just been talking about, it's about getting that consistency right, you know, and it's going to be a massive summer for Arsenal. We all know that, you know, because we've lost Aubameyang. There's a couple of players that are out of contract, especially in the striker's position, you know, so it's a big summer for Arsenal. And I think that'll tell us where the board and the club are aiming to go. You know, the signings that we bring in will tell everybody, are we going to have a right good goal for next season?
I suppose what a lot of neutral fans will think when they look at the positioning in the table, because I agree with you, you know, at one point in the season, to say that you'd finish fifth, I think you'd have all taken that. It's more difficult to take it when it feels like you've thrown something away. And I think because of the nature of the North London derby, that result against Newcastle, I must admit, I'm not convinced that you'll get a win against Everton on that final day.
I know what you mean, you know, because it's not, the confidence is not there. That's the bit of the downer on the season, is that we were in a fantastic chance of being in the top four, you know, but we just haven't got it over the line. And I'm sure that Mikel will be looking at that, be looking at players, see how they performed. You know, I'm sure he'll do an end of season review and then he'll take it from there, you know. But for me, it's a positive, and it's really hard to take a positive out of the last few games because of the position that we were in. But when you look at it overall, you know, even, you know, we play Everton on Sunday, we've got to get 3 points to stop Everton getting any points for Leeds United. Yeah. You know, it's a difficult thing for me, you know, and again, you know, but I feel that if we get the 3 points on Sunday, then people will be 75% happy. You know, you won't please everybody because of the chance that we had, you know.
And you learn the most from those moments.
Exactly, yeah.
Two of the big knock-on effects from that surely are you going to be able to attract the players that you want to attract in the summer? And also, you know, a lot of people are saying, but they will have Europa next season. Are all those extra matches actually going to wear the team out? Was this season the season to be able to push and try for that Champions League? Will it now be harder?
Will it be harder? I don't know. I still feel that, you know, the club, and now with European football, that's more of an attraction for players. Okay, Champions League's the cherry on top, but I feel that we're getting better, you know. So it's a case of, let's see what we can attract. Let's see what sort of players we get. And that'll show us. That'll show us where the club want to go and where the board and the owners think that we can go, you know, because we need a striker big time, you know, because we still don't know what's happening. Lacazette and Ketia, you know, they're all on end of their contracts, you know. So it's a difficult position to fill. And it'll be interesting just to see how big they go in that position.
Something I don't think has been spoken about enough, Nicola Pepe. I was looking at how much he cost, and I think a lot of people listening to this, unless you're a hardened Arsenal fan, might have passed them by that Nicola Pepe cost Arsenal more than Aubameyang did.
Yeah.
This season, he has made five starts. Five starts in the entire season.
Yeah.
That is a waste of money. What, you know, we all know that these players come in and sometimes they don't take to the Premier League. But when you're looking at recruitment, that has to be something to again take a lesson from. He hasn't worked out.
Yeah, you've got to look at that, Lindsay, and you've got to think, you know, for the player, it's not, you know, the price tag isn't anything to do with the player. The clubs agree that the price tag is put on the player, then you've got to try and perform to that price tag. And with Pepe, it's just, I think that's part of the reason why Arsenal fans are so frustrated with him, because they've had to pay so much for him and got so little back. You know, like you said, five starts, it's just not, obviously the manager has not got a great deal of confidence in him. When I first saw him come to the club and I saw bits, and I was thinking, there is some real talent in there. You know, his little jink inside, he's like Mahrez and people like that, you know, where he comes onto his left foot and he had a great finish. It's just that he just didn't do it often enough. He wasn't consistent with it. And, you know, the fact that he's only made five starts this season shows you that Arteta's not really got that much confidence in him. Obviously, he's got Saka playing in his position as well, you know, so he's hardly ever going to get him out unless Saka gets injured, you know, because he very rarely has a loss of form. But it's so frustrating for Arsenal fans, but I feel sorry for him in a little way, because the price tag is huge. You know, like for £70 million, you're almost looking at like a marquee signing, you know, one that's like going to produce straight away. And with Pepe, it was still a development.
It was treated like the marquee signing, because I remember being at the club reporting when he'd signed. The club shop had taken all shirts away. All they had was Pepe on the back, because the demand for the shirts, I think it was the number one selling shirt after he signed. So this is the furore that had got behind that signing. We all have those ones that we think are going to be marquee. Does it say anything about the fact that Arteta hasn't got a tune out of him? You know, I think when we judge coaches, and I think Arteta's really in the middle with this, I feel really 50-50, because I think he's made some players better, but I think there's some players that he's just had no effect on at all. And in fact, some have just disappeared, like Pepe. And that's usually the measure, isn't it? Is can that coach make the players that he's got better? Now, at the moment, I think you'd say, when you look at Eddie Howe, he's made that Newcastle team better pretty much across the board. And all of them are playing out of their skin. They're playing extra. And that's what you need to be getting from these players. So is there an element of failure in the fact that he hasn't been able to get a tune out of him?
I think a lot of it depends on the player's attitude as well. You know, I know that he was big friends with Aubameyang, you know, so then he sees him leave. It's tough, because the fact that he's not getting started in games tells you a lot. You know, maybe he's not putting it in the training. I don't know. I haven't seen that. But it is a tough one. But for me, with Arteta, I still feel that he's made the team better. He's got a team, you know, like whereas before it was always chopping and changing, and he seems to know what his best team is. We've still had injuries. I know it's an old cliche, but there has been injuries to some key players, you know, and especially with this running, you know, with Partey and Tierney, you know, they've been out for the end of the season, you know, and so that's not the team. But, you know, I still feel that Arteta's the right man, because I see what he does in training. I see his coaching methods, and I see the intensity that he's got, the passion that he's got, and the quality as well. You know, the demands that he makes on the players are really high. And for me, the team is getting better. So looking back, you know, from what you just said, yeah, the team's getting better, but you'll always get individuals that don't improve. And I think that's where Pepe comes into it. You know, he hasn't improved. And I don't know why.
What do you think the bar is for Arsenal next season in terms of where do they need to be at Christmas? Because it was raised on after the game on Sunday by Jamie Carragher that if it comes to November, December and Arsenal aren't in a great position, he's in trouble. Where do they need to be by that time?
They need to be top five again. They need to be there, or, you know, there or thereabouts, going for Champions League. But they just need to be challenging. That's where they need to be. And if they're not, no matter who's manager at Arsenal, that whoever it is, there'd be questions asked.
We're recording this on the day of the Europa League final, and look at what Rangers have done. And it's not just if they win that trophy; they then go into pot one for the Champions League next season. So that's a hell of a character dangle that even if you finish fifth, if you can go on a brilliant run in the Europa League, you might end up with Champions League football in a very different way. You could still finish fifth, sixth next season, but get Champions League if you had a good run and prioritise that as a competition.
Yeah, and like you say, and prioritise it, which I'm sure they will. But when you look back at the season now, they haven't been brilliant, Arsenal, yet they've still come up with a chance of getting Champions League this season without playing, you know, their best football all season. Like you say, we had a bad start of the season. Then we were good, went on a long run. And then we had the blip where we had three defeats on the trot. And now we've had another two on the trot, you know. So it's, you know, so if we can sort that out and get that consistency, then we've got to be looking at Champions League. But it all depends on who comes in the summer.
And those players that do come in at the summer, do you think they should be a little bit older and a little bit more experienced than the players that you've got now? Is that where the consistency normally is found? It's with the
it's getting that mixture right of experienced players and the young players. But don't forget that, you know, the younger players now are getting older season by season, obviously, and they're gaining that experience.
Which one player would you not like to lose?
I'd say Saka would be a real like dagger in the heart of Arsenal because he's one of our own.
For me, the two that sort of stand out for me that have performed really well but haven't been sort of in the limelight as much would be Nketiah and Martinelli. And every time that they've been on and they've produced something, people's eyes have lit up and gone, oh wow, look at the talent in these guys. But do you bring in a striker that goes straight into that starting 11 and knocks Nketiah off? Or do you try and keep him happy? Because I know, I think it was either at Christmas or the beginning of the season, he refused a contract extension.
Yeah. So I don't know what situation is with his contract, whether he's up in the summer or is he up next summer.
I'm pretty sure it is this summer.
I think it's this summer.
Yeah, you know, so that...
But you've got two gems there, haven't you, really, that you don't want to let... You want to make a big marquee signing, you want to get a striker in, whether that be... I know you've been linked with Gabriel Jesus and stuff like that, but do you then run the risk of annoying your current squad and potential players that could easily fit into a Leicester, a Wolves, Christ, I'd love them at Saints, you know, any sort of...
Yeah,
those and make them better.
I know what you mean, but it's getting the balance right. You know, so, you know, I feel we need an out-and-out striker, you know, and then maybe Nketiah, if he stays, you know, can play off him. You know, but you've got Martinelli and Smith Rowe competing for the same position, you know, so that's great competition for me with Nketiah. Yeah, he's great at finishing and stuff, but as we've seen, you know, these last few games, he's not had a massive impact.
So all this talk about Jesus, is he an out-and-out striker, though?
He's not because, you know, Man City have played all this season without a striker. So
yeah, apparently, yeah.
So, he's not an out-and-out striker.
Would you take the risk on someone like Ivan Toney?
That's the sort of guy that you need, you know, someone like that is an out-and-out striker. From what I see, he's a quality player.
He's had a good season, but has it been good enough to put him in a big team?
If I'm honest, I would expect someone a bit better than that.
If you get someone like Toney, though, is that a statement of intent? Is it really when you've just nicked a Brentford striker? As good as he may be, will the fan base actually go, no, I need you to spend another 70 million on a top striker in Europe somewhere?
The only thing I would say is that he could be the sort of signing that keeps Nketiah happy because you could play them together. Number one. But number two, he wouldn't be guaranteed every week. So what you're saying to Nketiah is you could come in and have more of a role to play. And that might convince him to stay. He might need a signing at that level in order to keep him.
Maybe he's waiting for that. Maybe he's waiting to see, you know, what sort of ambition the club have got. You know, but as a player, like with Eddie, he's a young player. He's just got to do what's best for his career.
If he does go, David, is it Crystal Palace that you see him going to? Because Vieira's said for a long time he's quite keen.
I would imagine there'll be quite a few clubs that would be keen on getting him. But it'll be a sad day for Arsenal because it's the same situation. It's one of our young players coming up and then leaving. You don't want to be seeing that, you know. And I just find it strange that he hasn't signed a contract. You know, I don't know why he hasn't signed a contract. But we'll have to wait and see what happens with that, you know, because but it would be a sad day if he leaves Arsenal.
As you're sat here right now, what does your gut say? Who's going down?
Burnley.
I know.
Well, I'm at Villa Burnley on Thursday. I'm going to go Burnley, but every time I do, they always don't go down.
Yeah, I think, and I know, and everybody I speak to, they all want Burnley to go down. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like that. But that point last weekend could prove massive. You know, Burnley need to get something to get out of it.
You're more of a neutral, Callum. What do you reckon?
every neutral say Leeds.
My gut tells me Leeds are going to drop. Yeah.
See, I think they've got the point, and I know that...
But they've got Burnley, a terrible goal difference. They've got a goal difference of minus 38. Like, who stays up with that?
Well, but they've got the point on the board.
Yeah, but at least he's not the worst.
Yeah. I'm being positive. I'm by the skin of their teeth, I think Leeds are going to survive.
Yeah. Who's Burnley got last game?
Newcastle, but at home.
Hopefully it's nil pois.
Someone was watching Eurovision at the weekend.
Oh, no, somebody wasn't.
No, you were on a stag do.
Yeah, exactly. I was on a stag do.
Come on, what are the stories?
No, not really. Oh, my God. So obviously, my last train was at 11:30. So, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go go-karting there. We'll have a meal. We'll have a drinks and that lot. I was like, right. First of all, I'll skip the go-karting because it was like near West Ham's ground. I was like, that's miles away from me. So I met them at the pub. We watched the cup final. I was getting a lot of cheering from a lot of Liverpool fans. Then had some food and that. And my last train home was 11:30. And I was chatting away, and we was in Shoreditch. And then I looked at my watch and I was like, shit, I've got to get from here to Paddington. And I'd been looking out before. And there was like loads of black cabs going by. I thought, oh, I'll be all right. I went out, nothing.
That's always the way.
So then I phoned an Uber. Sorry, black cab guys, but none of you are around. So I phoned an Uber and it was only like 2 or 3 minutes away. So as I'm like waiting for it, I got spotted on the street. I got like loads of people taking photographs and everything. Luckily, the doorman of the pub was like, Dave, your Uber's over there. You better get it or else he'll drive off. And I hadn't seen it. So anyway, I get in the car and I've now got like 25 minutes to get to Paddington. And I'm like looking at my watch. I'm thinking, oh my God, oh my God.
Did you get in there and go, drive it like you stole it? Go on.
So I got in the car and I'm like looking and I'm looking. My train leaves at 11:30. I got out of the car at 11:29, right? And at Paddington, the cars can't get close, can they? So I had to leg it through the station. I ran through the station. Luckily, the barriers were up. I went straight through. I got on the train at 11:29 and 30 seconds.
Oh, right? You still
it
got
didn't
it.
Stop there, though. So then,
oh no!
I got on the train. It was absolutely packed. I got me hat on. I got my reading glasses on and I got my face mask on. So that worked perfect. Then I got off the train and then I had to get a little train home. And I got there and I was like, oh, I've got loads of time. I'm looking and thinking, oh, and I sat down and I sent Frankie a picture. I says, oh, look, there's hardly anybody around on this platform. And she sent a text back saying, you should be on the train by now. I was like, what? I was on the wrong platform, weren't I?
Oh,
So... So I was like, oh man. So I went up the steps. Just as I was just about to come down the steps, the train left. And that was the last train. So I was like, Frankie, babe. Come and pick me up.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Seaman says with SafeStyle. The great saves, you can't beat SafeStyle.
Right, guys, it's time for Save of the Week with SafeStyle. And this week, there was a few, you know, and to be fair, Aaron made a couple against Newcastle, but the one that caught my eye massively was Nick Pope. his save from Son against Tottenham. It was a cutback, and Son arrived onto the ball and got a real good contact. It came through a couple of players, and Pope just went the other way. He got a real strong hand at his near post and turned it wide. It was a save that got the old wow as I was watching it. You know,
and it was, got a wow, and it got Adam less points on fantasy as well.
It was a real good save, and he made quite a few in the game as well. You know, he had another one from Son, made one up in the top corner that he made look easy. He didn't do the camera dive as some goalkeepers do. Don't name any names.
But we never heard about.
Yeah, but he had a really good game, and it was topped by a fantastic save.
If they go down, he ain't staying with them. Someone's going to snap him up big time.
Yeah, you would think so. And obviously, he's still in contention with England, with Jordan, Aaron, you know, and Nick Pope. You know, there's three goalies there that we've got that are producing. Things are looking good on that front. But yeah, Nick Pope's definitely the save of the week. That was Save of the Week with Save Style. For great saves, you can't beat Save Style.
Save of the Week with Save Style. For great saves, you can't beat Save Style.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
Great story this week, guys. Jake Daniels has had the courage to come out and tell everyone that he's gay. It's a big decision for anyone, you know, let alone a 17-year-old. You know, and he's even got Boris Johnson tweeting about him, saying that he's going to be an inspiration to other people. You know, and thank you for your bravery. It's just it's a huge decision to make. And like I say, hopefully it leads the way for a lot more people to come out and feel comfortable about it.
It is a huge moment, and one that it feels like the papers have been after for some time. This actually was Jake coming forward and wanting to do this himself, which I think is also a key difference in this. You know, a lot of the times it's been about journalists wanting to find that first gay professional footballer and being able to unwantedly out them sometimes. You know, you saw those articles where there were blurred images, and we've all known that it's existed. But this is a young man that's beyond his years mature to say, I want to inspire others to do this. And there is going to be an element of spotlight around being the first, certainly whilst he's been playing. We know that others have managed to do it afterwards. But he is the first in a very long time that's had the courage to do this. And football's been behind. Certainly men's football has been way behind what society is and how it should be reflected. I really hope that he doesn't get any unwanted abuse or anything like that. You know, when we're recording this, we know that homophobic abuse still happens and homophobic attacks even around the world. And that's why these sorts of people are needed, to just try and normalize it so that one day we're not talking about pointing at others for being different, that we're all just coexisting in a harmonious state, and that's what we want. But we're probably a very long way off from that still, even though we've made so much progress. But this is a huge step in the right direction.
It is, you know, and with him being that young as well, you know, it's a whole new generation. And, you know, and I feel that it's just it's that sort of generation. They just think, well, yeah, so, you know, it's not something that youngsters are like, well, yeah, he's gay or she's gay or whatever. They just take it as part of their life now.
It's always been inferred by me anyway, when I've been reading the media, that it would be a backlash in the dressing room, which I always find incredible, because I think, David, that the dressing room would be very accepting. I don't think it's ever been about within football. It's about the fan base and the section of supporters that would use it against players, in the same way that we see racism in football. It would just be homophobic chanting. Those are the things that people have been scared of, not necessarily their own teammates, or am I wrong?
No, the teammates would take it so easily. You know, it wouldn't make any difference at all, or it certainly wouldn't have made any difference if they'd been in my dressing room. You know, and like you say, I think the fans now are more aware of what they can and can't say. You know, and clubs need to get even more up with this, you know, like with cameras on people in the stands, you know, because they're doing it already, especially with the racism, you know, and they can do exactly the same with the homophobic chants, you know, do exactly the same, you know, single these people out and get them out of the ground. You know, you ain't going to please everyone. There's no doubt about that. You know, there's always going to be some idiots. But you know, the more people like Jake, the more people come out, the more normal it is, you know, and that's what I hope that where this leads to is other people coming out and making it more normal, because it is normal in our lives.
This is Seaman Says.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
So I was having a chat with Callum the other night, and we noticed on your social media, David, that you've done a fishing video. You've got some deal going on there. And I said to Callum, he's done a piece to camera. There's no edit. How's he pulled that one off?
Well, we're talking about fishing. No,
it's so good. Natural.
No, it's just something that I've been looking forward to. It's took quite a while to get it all sorted out properly, but I've joined Fishing Republic. And
so what does that mean?
So it's they're a brand that are within Go Outdoors, you know, so like a concession that's in all their stores across the country. And I went to an opening one up in Swindon. And it was great, you know. You go in there, there's all this camping gear and horse riding gear and all this bike gear, everything. And then it was like, bang, there's the fishing gear. And there's like loads of it, you know. So it's, it's like going shopping in the candy store for me. You know, it's, all these different baits and stuff. And, you know, it's just something that fits perfect with me, you know, and it fits with the Fishing Republic as well. You know, we did a photo shoot quite a while ago, and it was great, you know, using quite a bit of their gear and just getting out and doing a bit more fishing, you know. So
you look at the business in those photos.
Yeah, you know, it'll certainly make me smile, you know, and it'll make me happy. So now I can go out and say, right, I'm going working. I'm actually going fishing and I'm working.
Oh, you think that's going to work with Frankie, do you? Yeah.
So last night I got a text from my brother-in-law saying, just open the Go Outdoors catalogue, and up pops David Seaman. So we've actually got a catalogue model on our podcast.
I'm sorry, your brother-in-law subscribes to what?
There was one picture, David, and you were looking very wistful, would be my word. It was like you were looking out onto a lake. It was a very posed shot. I loved the picture. Yeah. You knew exactly what you were doing.
Was I on the bridge?
Yeah, you're on the bridge. I think you probably got this from your England days.
No, I was thinking of how big are the fish in this lake?
Only one way to find out.
No, exactly. Yeah, you're with Fishing Republic and work. Do some work. Yeah, working, mate. Oh, you're working a lot this week, yeah.
David Seaman and Lindsay Hooper. This is Seaman Says.
Whilst we've been recording this, I have had a message to say what game I'm covering on the final day of the season, which I did not know because they were waiting for all the permutations. And I didn't know whether I might not find out until after the games on Thursday. But the message has come through from one of my bosses.
Spill the beans.
I will be at on the final day of the season, David. It's a big one for you for a couple of reasons. I'll be at Arsenal Everton.
Well, yeah. Oh, I was hoping you were going to say Brentford Leeds because then I could phone you up and see what's going on.
But what Everton do is going to be big, isn't it, in saying what happens for Leeds.
Yeah,
well.
It is. Yeah. You know, and it'll be, it should be a good day, only if Arsenal win. You know, so, you know, and I think Arsenal need to do this to, you know, give the fans something to shout about at the end of the season, you know.
Well, Everton have been pressing the self-destruct button with their red cards and stuff, haven't they, for the next couple of games?
You know, how long did Rondon stay on for?
And what sort of tackle was that? I mean, it wasn't, he kind of went, two legs.
I know, yeah.
sat down on the ground.
And he knew straight away, didn't he? But yeah, but it's, you know, it's a big game for Arsenal, you know, for confidence reasons, for especially for fans. You know, they need a display that will make them feel a lot happier going into next season. You know, get beat and it really leaves on a downer.
The more that we're talking, the more, because I thought that Arsenal might drop points in this final game because of what Everton have got to play for. But actually, I think so many things are starting to look, and we'll see what happens on Thursday, but out of their control now. So for Arsenal, they know it's not down to them. It's up to Spurs. Spurs are in that driving seat, and if they win, that's it. That's theirs. So a bit of pressure.
Please be Spursy. Please be Spursy.
Exactly, but pressure is removed, isn't it? Because they think, well, we haven't got that pressure anymore. We can just go out. And Everton, I mean, let's see what happens. But I think that they might be in a position whereby it looks like it's between Leeds and Burnley, and might not need it as much.
I know what you mean. You know, and like I said, like what you've just said is Arsenal need to go out just to. In case Spurs do slip up, in case Spurs do be Spursy, please be Spursy, like Adam says. But, you know, it's, yeah, so.
It is Norwich, though, David. You know, it's
these get a.
That'd be ultimate Spursy.
Oh, did you just say that? Oh. Who couldn't beat Norwich? Sorry, who was that? Who couldn't beat Norwich?
Yeah, but I mean that.
Oh, you opened yourself up to that one, then.
Yeah. We're
talking about a different calibre of team in Spurs, I'm afraid, to us at the minute. There's no way Norwich's defence are going to cope with Son and Kane and Kulusevski.
No.
Son is after a golden boot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he could be how many goals? Mm. You know, I'm sure that'll reflect in our predictions.
Before we get to predictions, what do you how do you reckon the title race is going to go?
I can't see City slipping up at all. They just need a win, don't they? And you know, a home win and then it's theirs. I was watching the Liverpool game last night, and when it went 1-0, I was thinking, oh, this could be a draw.
Mm. We made them sweat. Mm.
And especially when I see what sort of team that Jurgen Klopp put out, I was like,
no Salah.
He's resting a few players.
No Virgil van Dijk. No Robertson. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alexander Arnold was rested for that one because I think the cup final just took it out of so many players. Fabinho has been a regular struggler with injury in recent weeks. So, yeah, the team's been decimated. I think if anyone looks like they're going to slip up at the moment, it's Liverpool, not City.
Decimated.
Well, I say decimated. I mean, the Southampton fan isn't going to think that's decimated when they look at the bench. But for in terms of regular starters.
Yeah. Even Klopp said, it's like having Ferraris in the garage. That's not a bad team. Mm. I mean, look, you compare it to Saints, like I get it. And I thought we would still be embarrassed. And we weren't. And we went up. So, you know, I actually think, unlike a lot of our supporters, I think Ralph played it pretty well. I don't know what it looked like on TV because it always seems to look a bit different on TV than when you're actually there at the ground. But we drew them in and we went long and it seemed to work for a big chunk of the game. But that certainly isn't a decimated team we played against.
Look, it's decimated compared to Real Madrid.
But yeah, City are still my choice. I can't see them slipping up at all.
Talking about slipping up, is this the opportunity that Steven Gerrard gets to win the league for Liverpool?
Yeah. Is this poetry? Some sort of weird...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
For him to have been the one to balls it up all those years ago, and then him to come round in a management position and have that effect on the team that he loves so much.
I know.
Philippe Coutinho to score the winner?
No. No, it's not happening. They're not going to leave it till the last minute either, or the last seconds. It's going to be a nice, comfortable 3-0 win.
Seaman says, this week's predictions.
And on that note, Linz, a nice, comfortable win for City. I think we should do the rest of our predictions for the final time this season.
And where are we in the rankings, David? Have you got that ice out yet?
The ice is actually in the bucket for you.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So the 7 points difference.
Seven points, oh.
You know what that means, though, don't you? That means that I think, David, you're going to have to go a little bit out there with some of your predictions this week just to try and claw something back.
Yeah. The only way I could change it is if Lindsay goes first every time.
Lindsay, do you want to... Have you got to go first every time?
I know, so you can totally annihilate me, or I might... No, we've got to carry on.
I don't mind. I don't mind either way. I feel confident.
Oh,
I like it.
Where do you want to start then?
First up is Arsenal against Everton. And yeah, I think the only thing that might change on this, mind you, you were talking about that you might think that you think Everton might get something here, but I'm going to go for a confident 3-1 win for Arsenal.
I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that sort of margin. I think this is going to be a tighter game, but I think the red cards have swayed me now that Arsenal will win this. I thought that there could have been a draw on the table, but I think Arsenal might just edge it. 2-1. Brentford Leeds, the other game that you really want to put some focus on, David. Channel that energy. 2-2.
Oh, she's gone with a Desmond. I'm going to go with a 2-1 Leeds win. I've got to do that. I've just got to have... And then that secures Premiership football or Premier League football for next season. Any other result and I'm worried. Right, next up is Brighton against West Ham. West Ham are... They're playing well. There's no doubt about that. But I can see this as a draw. So I'm going to go with my Desmond on this. I'm going to go 2-2.
Brighton's home form has been the fourth worst in the league, I believe. They have been great on the road. But I think West Ham finish on a high. This season has been about a few teams and West Ham are one of them. I think that West Ham win this 2-0. Burnley, Newcastle could have a lot riding on this one. At Turf Moor, but Newcastle in the last game against your lot, Arsenal looked very good, didn't they? That was at St James's Park. I still think that Newcastle are going to do this. 1-0, Newcastle.
I'm going to go 3-1 Newcastle. That's got some faces going. But yeah, I just feel that I'm not going to go for anything for Burnley because that would be totally against Leeds. I think, but the way, I just hope that the way that Newcastle played the other night against Arsenal is not took everything out of them. They've still got a little bit left and that bit be 3-1 to Newcastle. Next up is Chelsea against Watford. We're going to, how many goals? 4-0 Chelsea.
3-0 Chelsea. Palace, Man United. I think 2-1 Palace.
Yeah, I think Man United are going to go out with a big bang, and I'm going to say totally opposite, 2-1 Man United.
See how far standards have dropped. Big bang, 2-1 against Palace.
Next up is Leicester against Saints. Oh, good luck choosing this one. I'm going to go for a Leicester win. I'm going to go for 2-0 Leicester.
3-1 Leicester. Liverpool Wolves. I don't very often go against Wolves, do I? But we haven't been good lately. 2-0 Liverpool.
See, this is the game where Wolves turn up normally, isn't it? The big games.
Mm-hmm.
They like them.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see anything other than a Liverpool win. What do you got? 2-0?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 3-1 Liverpool. And then Man City, Villa. And like I say, I can't see anything other than a nice, comfortable win for City. So I'm going to go for 3-0 Man City. Nice early goals so everyone can enjoy this one.
This is the end of season's show. 4-1 Man City. Norwich Spurs to finish off. I've got to go for a big score on this one. I think that Norwich... are going to get a battering, and I think it could be 4-0 Spurs.
Do you know, I want to go draw, but I can't. 3-0 Spurs. I don't know what that means if that happens. So hopefully I'm wrong.
David Seaman and Lindsay Hooper.
This is Seaman Says.
We're in for an exciting final few days. We'll be back next week to reflect on the end of the Premier League season, and we've got a special announcement on the way. So make sure you're following us on social media at Seaman Podcast. And we'll see you next week.
This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.